Our first scripture reading today is going to be from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. Our New Testament reading is going to be from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Why did the firework get in trouble at the planning meeting for America's birthday? Because he just kept going off. What does one American flag say to the other? Nothing, it just waves. Why are there no 4th of July knock-knock jokes? Because freedom rings. That was my favorite one. Well, on the attainment of America's semi-quincentennial, I've selected Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, as our scripture this morning, which is one of the few times I will take a little... And I will be heavily referencing a message by Illinois South Conference leader, Reverend Shanna Johnson. Now here Moses is speaking to his people, and they're about to go across to the Promised Land, but Moses can't go. He has to stay behind. And so he is speaking to them about not forgetting all the amazing signs and wonders and miracles that they have witnessed and experienced of God's wondrous love and his mighty acts in bringing them to freedom. And he says, but take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. In other words, tell your stories of witness and history so that they will never be forgotten. And that's a lot about what the church is for. We gather together as a community of faith to share and witness to what we believe and what we know about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, and about the faith that directs us and shapes us and molds us into the people that we are. Well, as we celebrate 250 years as the United States of America, we have seen and heard so many amazing, uplifting speeches and statements, not only by our nation's leaders, but world leaders from everywhere. I mean, what comes to your mind? Would it be the Declaration of Independence? Would it be the preamble to the Constitution? Or Washington's farewell address, in which he quotes the Bible about wanting to sit under his own vine and fig tree? Or FDR's, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Or John F. Kennedy asking in his inaugural address, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Our speech. So many inspiring words throughout our history. But today I want to turn to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, delivered on November 19, 1963, at Soldiers National Cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Now, I'm curious how many of you had to memorize that when you were probably in the fifth grade or so? Several of you did, okay? Do you remember how many words are in it? 272. And it's less than 2 minutes. I bet most of you can at least remember the opening. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And of course, the closing line, which I think is even more famous, that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. It is widely considered one of the most seminal works in American history, with Lincoln's words still challenging us today as citizens to reflect on and to embody the nation's highest ideals and founding principles. And as our nation celebrates the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence with firework displays, which in many places got postponed, concerts in the park, picnics, and cookouts, I find myself as a person of faith thinking about Lincoln's assertion that our ancestors were dedicated to the proposition that all people are created equal. And for me, and I'm sure many of you, this ideal intersects with my theology. I believe in a God who is the creator of the universe, the creator of all nations, not just ours, the creator of all people, not just some, not just those who look like us. I believe God calls us to see, value, and treat all God's abundance and blessings are meant for all. At the same time, I am concerned by Christian messages and movements that seek to claim that God loves our country above all other countries, or that God loves Christians more than people of other faiths or no faith. Such theology can be deeply harmful because it elevates favoritism over the inclusive love revealed in Scripture. In Jesus' own life and ministry, we see him rejecting that kind of theology. And throughout his ministry, he consistently preached, taught, and modeled inclusion rather than exclusion, building up rather than tearing down, as the children sang this morning, and caring for rather than neglecting others. He challenged his followers to recognize his presence in those around them and to serve others as they would serve Jesus himself. Reflect on the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, verses 36 to 40. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. And the opposite is also true. What we neglect to do for them, we neglect to do for God. As we celebrate this semi-quincentennial, I believe it is right and good to give thanks for the ways that we have sought to live into the promise that all people are created equal. And at the same time, as people of faith, it is also right and good to confessionally acknowledge the ways we have fallen short, not ideal. May our allegiance to Christ above all else guide us in creating a just world in which all of God's people are loved, valued, and cared for. May we not just celebrate the ideal of equality, but may we work to embody the justice, mercy, and compassion to which Christ calls us so that all may experience it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. O God of all nations, we give thanks for the gift of religious freedom. Yet we lament the rising tide of Christian nationalism and efforts to privilege one faith above others in our laws and civic life. Forgive us, Lord, when we confuse the kingdom of God with earthly kingdoms. We pray for protection against extremist politics that engender hatred, exclusion, and division. We ask that you would grant us all the courage to confront supremacist rhetoric with messages of truth and radical love. Deliver us from the love of power and teach us the power of love. We pray for those targeted by harmful ideologies and for our democratic institutions. Protect the right of all to worship freely or not to worship at all. Help us to defend the dignity of every human being. Loving God, we pray for the healing of our communities and our nation. We reject ideologies that fuse earthly power with the gospel. And we ask for the wisdom to protect religious freedom, human dignity, and grace for all people. Guide our leaders to pursue justice and equity. Through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who welcomes all into your embrace and calls us to love our neighbor. Amen.